Our dear Heavenly Father, once again we thank you for your word and for the strength and encouragement we get from it. And we just ask you to open up our hearts and minds this morning to receive it, for we thank you and pray in Christ's name. Amen. John 14. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and be not afraid. The psychiatrists in America tell us that the two things that people are plagued by most of all are anxiety and anger. And anxiety is part of the fear complex, and obviously you know what anger is about. The trouble with that is the damage that the emotions do to our souls. And probably, without being exhaustive, I would say the scripture addresses those two issues more than anything, fear and anger. Of course, any one of the seven feelings of the emotional complex are all part of the emotions. And here in this particular passage, we see these two things mentioned. These two things destroy our spiritual life of peace. So peace becomes the solution and the cure for anxiety and anger, but they're also the great enemy of peace. So the passage talks about your hearts being troubled. And we see a connection between a troubling of the heart and the fear complex. So there is a connecting link. Now the word troubled here is deals with the idea of an agitation of the heart. See if I can draw this out. On the left side of the column, we have pressure. Now, the word pressure deals with the idea of anything that presses upon the soul. Now, if you take your finger and push it on your hand like this, that's pressure. But if you take your fingernail and push on there, it hurts a little bit more. And this is what this stuff from the world system is doing to us. It puts pressure on our souls. And if the pressure is great, or if it's pointed enough, it will leave an impression. And that is where we get into garbage of the soul, scar tissue. Scar tissue means that something has pressed so hard upon your soul that it's left a wound. And generally, if it's cut open, then it heals over and you have a scab. And this, trying to give you the idea of what's going on inside of us. So this becomes a serious problem. And getting rid of the scar tissue garbage of the soul. Now, these impressions generally happen to us when we're young and growing up, we're very tender, we're sensitive, and it's the things that we had to go through in our childhood, they leave an impression, an imprint upon the soul. And that gets into the field of scar tissue and garbage of the soul. Now, your pressure comes from the world system at large, but it also comes from that which is outside the soul, which gets into the body. And when you start having problems with your body, that puts pressure upon your soul. Over here, we have put the soul. So you have pressure on the outside, but it affects the soul on the inside. And this is where you start to have agitation. And that's where we get into stress. I know they talk about in society about stress on the outside, but for our purposes, we say that stress is an inner phenomenon that takes place and becomes an agitation of the soul where it's like shakiness. It's like you go to see this little lake in the morning where the wind whips up and people get on it, and it's just calm and peaceful and tranquil. I want you to think of your souls as being that way, calm, peaceful, and tranquil. But as the agitations of life take place, it becomes agitated on the inside. And agitation is a nondescript. You can't put words to it. It's a nondescript of riling up the soul. You don't know what's going on. It doesn't necessarily mean you're anxious or you're worried about something. You can't put your finger on it. That's what takes place in the soul. Now, this is not sin in the soul, but it's tantamount to sin in that it makes you feel like you would feel if you had soul sins going on. Now, in our younger days, our sins were more obvious. They were more like carnal sins. But as we get older, they're different. You leave your drunkenness behind, you're chasing skirts behind, and you go on and live your life more stable. But that doesn't mean you get away from any of this, because the sins now change. And anxiety is one of the big causes of this. And everybody right this morning with the Lord? Now, if we do not handle this agitation of the soul, then eventually, next day, next minute, we're going to get into soul sins. And that's where you have anxiety. I mention that because generally that's the first thing that takes place, is anxiety. Then we react to what makes us anxious, and we get angry over it. Because you'll find as you get older, you just want to have peace. You really do. When I say older, past the 40s, somewhere in there. And you just want to have a peaceful, calm, quiet, tranquil life. You've had enough with the booze, with the drugs, with the arguing, with whatever. And you just want to live a peaceful life. So when stuff is interrupting that, our tendency is to react with anger. So now we got another problem. Now, our... and our emotions are our worst problem. Fear. And fear deals with several. Deals with the anxiety, status quo anxiety. What's that mean? That's your life. Anybody remember Don Knotts off of Mayberry? We all chuckle, but that's somebody who has this Chihuahua mindset. And Chihuahuans, you know, they just yip at everything. That's because they're scared. They're small and they're frail. You get a big Great Dane or German Shepherd there, they don't have to go on because they know they can handle themselves. And so they have a fear, anxiety, consternation, dread, terror, fright, worry. That's all under the fear complex. Apprehension, everything's fine, but apprehension is the fear of what might happen. It becomes a vicious cycle. The King James puts it as fearful. If you ever read that word, it means you're full of fear. You're full of this problem. Now, some people don't have a problem with it, but most people do. And so that's just one emotion. Another one we have to deal with is anger. And there's six different faces of anger. Last one, violence. Before that is screaming and hollering and cussing and trying to hurt each other with words. You're just angry. And how are you going to solve this in your own personal lives and mine? And we don't recognize it and admit to it. And we've got to admit to God immediately. And behind anger, probably behind fear too, is the mental attitude of pride. And generally, the bigger your pride is, the more quick you are to get angry. How dare they talk to me that way? And there's just a lot of telltale signs to pick up on. Guilt. Guilt, feeling guilty, is a sin. But if you feel guilt or ashamed, it's a sin. Grief. There's normal grief, and there's abnormal grief. Grief is the feeling of pain in your soul when a loved object has been taken away from you. What are love objects? Husband, wife, kids, separation. So it's the pain of separation you feel in your soul. Grief is normal, but there's a way to handle grief. How do we handle grief? You guys know? Well, sobbing, crying, tears, sometimes getting upset over the whole thing, frustration, others, and grief is never a one concept. It has other factors, other emotions that hang on to it. It becomes difficult to deal with the grief because you think because yesterday you had a good cry, now what? Why do I feel this way? Well, separation anxiety, loss of love, reality kicks in, another emotion comes up, frustration comes in, all sorts of things. So guess what? You're going to have to deal with those emotions today. Tomorrow may be others, all connected to grief. And generally, having a good cry about it really helps. Happiness. Happiness is a flesh concept. I know there are people out there, because they don't know what they're talking about, who teach that the emotions have just been redone and so you can have all this stuff. But the emotions were there before you got saved, and they're there the day after you get saved. And they're all part of the flesh nature. God has something different for us. Instead of anger and fear and so forth, we have peace. And we have, the scriptures refer to it as joy. We have joy that comes to us. The difference being that human happiness comes about as a result of something pleasant happening to you. You win the lottery, you get a promotion, the doctor's report comes back negative, you have no cancer. And I've been through it, and people go through it, and they just get happy. Kid gets accepted to college or whatever. Something pleasant has happened to you. So that's human happiness. But spiritual joy that God provides is not dependent upon pleasant external circumstances. Human happiness is one thing, but spiritual joy, you can be in pain and have joy. You can be burying your loved one and still have joy. It'll come there. It's from God. So these are just some of the things that we have to wrestle with. And as you get older and put your drinking horn around behind you, you'll find that the challenges that you face are dealing with the emotional complex of the soul. I've taught over 400 classes on dealing with the emotions. I've had people, the very first class, erupt in anger and throw everything out, leave my ministry. I think, must have tests on a nerve there somewhere. Now, there is a barrier that God has provided to protect our souls. All this junk of the outside world, and remember, our bodies are still the outside world, because that's the exoman, that's the outer man. But the inner man, the esso man, that's the born-again believer that God's created inside of you. But if we have this barrier in place, it takes all the pressures of the world in our bodies and keeps them outside of us, keeps them away from the soul. Now, if we don't, if we allow the pressures of the world and our bodies to get through to us, that means it has gone through. No barrier in place. And then what happens is you have stress in the soul. And the word really, in the Greek, speaks of turmoil. A nondescript agitation of the soul. And that that will bother us for a time. It may be a day or two, maybe just a second. It all depends. And this stuff gets inside of us. Now, this pressure outside is going to be inside of us. And that's where things get to go downhill. If we don't handle it, and you know, whether it's financial pressure or physical health pressures, if we don't handle it, our souls are going to start agitating. And that's turmoil in the soul. The next thing we have are soul sins. And these are a lot more difficult to deal with, to get rid of that garbage in our souls. Now we're going to start experiencing fear, anger, guilt, grief, jealousy. And if you start to recognize these, what do we do with them? Think about it. You need to have this stuff on the top of your head, I'm telling you. If you start feeling fear, anxiety, anger, grief, guilt, jealousy, whatever. The first thing we do is recognize it, and the very next thing we do is admit it to God. And for the life of me, I don't see how you can function as a spiritual believer in Christ without confession of your sins. I don't know how you can do it. You act like God doesn't know what's going on, or he doesn't see it. He knows it. He knows if you're angry or jealous or whatever it is. He knows that. So it's just stating the obvious to God. Now we got to think of a solution, because it's having solutions is one of the most important things in the Christian life. You have to solve your problems and move on. All right, we've admitted that we're angry or feel guilty or we have fear or whatever. We've admitted that, so what's the next thing we want to do? Grab a promise or a class that deals with what this problem is. So let's say if it's something out of the fear complex. So what should I be looking for in the scriptures? Passages that deal with fear. Do not fear, for I am with thee. Do not anxiously look about, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up with my righteous right hand. Or like he told Joseph, whithersoever thou goest, I will be with you. God gives us the freedom to live our lives, go here and do that or whatever, but he'll be with us every step of the way. If I was to expand that verse, do not fear is an admonition to stop an action that you're doing. So stop being afraid. Stop being afraid. Why? What? Why? It asks a question or implies a question of why. For what reason should I stop being afraid? Stop being afraid. Key, because I am with you. Stop being afraid because I, Yahweh, am with you. Stop anxiously looking around. So this is anxiety. And here's the rest of the translation. And he goes into the idea of stop being afraid because I am with you. And the next word deals with in anxiety, the word dismayed means that you're desperately seeking and anxiously seeking a solution to your problems. Look, everybody on earth has problems. Sometimes we get into areas that the problems are overwhelming. So we get panicky. We try to figure out a solution to the problems. But God says, stop being afraid because I am with you. I, Yahweh, the God of the universe, am with you. Stop desperately and anxiously looking around for a solution to your problem because I, Yahweh, am your God. Now you have a full expanded idea from the Hebrew. And then that deals with us in our lives. So I cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. Put your anxiety and fear to rest because God is with you. In the Hebrew, the thing I like about it is that, my ribs are still out, so I've been out for a couple of weeks now, so they're better, but it still hurts. Three ribs out. One was enough. Where did I leave off? Sorry about that. Cast your burdens upon the Lord and he will sustain you. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And, you know, a lot of emphasis is made on faith. And that's important, the dynamic of faith. But let's clarify something again. And that is, never think of faith as faith alone. There's two sides to faith. There's the active side, the subjective side, which looks at us believing. But always there's the objective side of what we believe. And for us, what we believe is the Word of God, the promises of God, the doctrines of God. God's made over 7,000 promises. And could God lie about this? No, would God lie about this? He's unable to lie. So whatever he promises us in the Bible, you can take that to the bank and cash it because it'll always be there for us. So In the Hebrew, there's a different idea. And it's like, sum paru omai, and that's the word for journey. And what is a journey? Well, it's a path that you're taking to go from point A to point B. A pilgrim traveling through this life, like going through it, coming upon a small village, and then you walk through the village, and you walk out of the village. You're going to, not to the village, you're going through it, but you're not going to it. And you're on a journey, maybe to a different country, for example. This is not our home. This is not our country. These are not our people. What are we? Well, we're born again, saved children of the Most High God. We belong to Him, and we may even dwell upon the among these people for a while, but they're not our people. They may be nice people, but still they're not our people. And our transition, the steps that we take every day, is our journey. And our journey is, I think the original idea of it is you're going to another place to conduct business of some kind. So where are you going is a, with your camels and your wares might be to two or three villages down the road. And you pass through all these villages, but they're not your destination. Your destination is a place past that. And all of that is your journey. Now, there's a sum paru omai, and God says, He is with us. Well, He's on this journey with us. And now there, sum paru omai means that God is in union with you on this journey. And then there's pro paru omai, which means that God is not only on our journey, He's gone ahead and cleared the trail. So He goes before you on the journey. So God is with you, in company, side by side, arms locked with each other. But God is also going before you, and He's also going in union with you, an inseparable, unbreakable union. So sometimes the Septuagint expands the idea better than the Hebrew or Greek, so, which we like to study to bring the benefit of all of that to you. Any questions so far? Now, this is the key thing here. The barricade. The barricade is to be put in place to protect your soul from the ravages of life outside. This is why I basically have stopped. I probably watched more news in the last few weeks than I have in the last years. And why do you think I don't watch the news? And you shouldn't either. Well, I want to know what's going on. The news is a psyops operation. It's there to deceive you, to lie to you, to control your thinking. It's all about deception, smoke and mirrors. You can do what you want to do, but it's There's only two things that the news, other than to control your thinking, seeks to evoke: fear and anger. And thank you very much. I don't need more fear and anger in my life. I can create all my own. And it gets you worried, and it gets you upset. We've been called to peace. Just think of that word, peace. It's even peaceful the way it sounds. And what do you want more than anything out of life? Look, let's put it like this. You're on a way to your appointment with death. And I've thought long and hard about this, and I think, well, that sucks. But it's true. There's a day down the road, and the path that we're taking is our final step. Now, I'm 85, so I've had 85 years. But I buried him here at a month of age, 1 month old. They didn't get a chance to walk, but they're dead. So you don't know when God is going to call you home. What we want to do is live as many steps of our lives in peace as we can, and to not allow anything or anyone deter us from that peace. Now, that's my spin on it. What's yours? Do you want to fill your days with anxiety and anger? Do you want to go around screaming and hollering and cussing and carrying on? What good does that do you? You're not doing yourself any favors. You're not doing favors for the one you live with or the kids. We just need to stop this nonsense. I'm trying to teach you how we can do it. If you have scar tissue, garbage of the soul from your childhood, look, it's understandable. We all do, to one degree or another, have problems in that area. But are you going to let it rule your lives? Or let it control your spiritual dynamic? See, it's the spiritual dynamic that makes up that block, that barricade there. And if we had to sum it up in one word, it's peace. Maintain your peace. It is so important that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, God addresses that issue. And that's in the strongest union there is between human beings. That's a husband and a wife. Covenant union, union of the souls, the spirits, so to speak. And in some cases where the union dissolves and one of them leaves you, what did God say? How do we handle that? Says, let him go. And then he tells you why, 4K. What's the reason? For God has called us to peace. It's so important that he is allowing the dissolving of the marriage take place just so you can have peace. So you can get up in the morning and go to work and have a cup of coffee and read your Bible, maybe have a little bit of prayer with God, because he's called you to peace. He wants you. So don't be complaining about the ones that left you. It's fine. It's okay. Let them go. You don't have to rebound or reverberate or any of that nonsense or justify yourself. You don't have to do it. Any of that nonsense. God did something for you. He opened the door so they can waddle their ass out. And be thankful. And give thanks. You got a boat anchor off your neck. Somebody you have to fight with every day. It's not worth it. Why? Because God has called all of us to peace. To peace. Peace in our comings and goings. Peace in our relationship with others. So wasn't that like walking around with your head in the clouds? I don't care if it is or it isn't. Better than having my head stuck in a cesspool. I have peace. That's all I care about. Which gets me into the idea we should have another go at the tranquility, a tranquil life, calm and peaceful, no agitation. And you know how it is when you get into anger, you get into revenge tactics and getting back at them. And what good does it do? I'm so stupid, I watch the Orange County Housewives. It's just shocking. They're pleasant-looking ladies, expensive clothes, diamond rings. They go out for dinner, and they end up fighting. I'd rather have a sandwich in the corner of the house and not have to go through that. It's like eating with the wrong kind of people. Even if they serve you filet mignon, you can choke on every bite. So just remember this. Pressure from the world is inevitable. It's always going to be there. It's going to be something today or tomorrow or something in your own body. It's extremely difficult to deal with. Dealing with scar tissue garbage of the soul, which means that we've got to get it out of us. And that means sometimes it's painful to go through it. That's a stressor in itself. But once you do, you're through with it. Now, as far as scar tissue garbage of the soul is concerned, it was there yesterday. As you sit here this morning, it's here. Probably be there tomorrow. It's only when God decides to deal with it in your soul. This gets back into the Father's plan for our lives. And let's say something happened to you in your childhood. Well, day after day, that problem existed in your soul. But it wasn't an issue because you kept it buried. And this gets into subconscious, conscious. So here we have it in the subconscious. It was put there maybe the day that you got raped. 50% of the young girls growing up have been raped. One out of two by a male member of the household, generally. One out of five boys have been raped. I know some myself. And maybe it happened, let's say, when they were 10. That's been there every day. But they've been able to get married, have kids, hold on a job, all sorts of things, act normal in life. But then, And it doesn't bother you because you kept it buried down into the subconscious, out of thought, out of mind. And when you've had enough doctrine and enough growth, then God is able to deal with it. And that becomes a whole different ballgame. Now you're experiencing all the pain, everything. TMS kicks in, the rest of it. But it's still an external pressure because it's external from the new man created inside of you. So, generally speaking, dealing with scar tissue, garbage of the soul, takes place at a later time in life. Gosh, everybody's so sober and quiet this morning. But once it gets past the barrier here of peace, and if we break that down, living in the spiritual life dynamic is living by faith, faith in the promises of God, living in the filling of the Holy Spirit, living centered around the Word of God, confessing of sins, all of those things are part of that. But it's design, and God's Word and faith are the prevention and cure for stress in the soul. But let's say it's all already on this side. Well, then what you do is it leads you down the wrong path. Well, we'll stop here this morning. Father, we thank you for this study. We pray a blessing in Christ's name. Amen.